and the kinks and the different trying of different things. Mm-hmm. They can't bring it up to the person they've been high school sweethearts with for 20 mm-hmm. years. And they're like, hey, I'm now into butt stuff, or hey, I'm mm-hmm. now into toys, or hey, I'm now into the, because where the fuck did this idea come from? You've been with me for 20 years. And did you explore the internet, or are you cheating? Like, I feel like people are scared to bring up changes in their mm-hmm. sex life with their partners. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to
go somewhere. Truth of Divorce podcast with Sam and Leah, helping you not just survive, but thrive.
Good morning, you guys. And welcome back to The Ugly Truth of Divorce, where we are going to be talking today about the reasons why people get divorced and kind of how mm-hmm. we feel based on our clients of how they rank. We are going to talk about the biggest factors for getting a divorce. And both Lee and I have support groups. We do consultations with people. And so we're just going to talk about, as we go through each one of these, what we hear and feel in our own personal stories as well of, is this a good enough factor, or how did this factor play into the divorces we hear about? And the first one is lack of family support.
Mm.
Lack of family support. And I know in my own, you know, first marriage, my ex-husband, he was busy. You know, he was a volunteer fireman. He gave a lot of time to that and was up there all the time. And I had the kids all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? It definitely weighs on you when you feel like you aren't really on a team. You're supposed to be working together toward, you know, to accomplish the same goals. And that can be really hard, especially when if you're the mom who's doing all the things and also shouldering most of the emotional burden that comes mm-hmm. with yourself and your kids and your spouse. Because if you're married to somebody who doesn't really know how to process their emotions or communicate their emotions, then you're not only doing all the things, but then you're also have that weight of all that, the emotional burdens of it. And you can only do that for so long until you break.
Well, I think one of the most popular comments we get in our support group a lot is, I was a single parent married. So being a single parent divorce is going to be a cake.
Right. Right. We do hear that a lot. Yeah.
A lot. I mean, we're just, where parents are like, I was doing this shit solo the whole time. So what's the big deal? But I see how that's a big fight, because this is the number one reason. And according to Forbes magazine, this is the number one reason as to why people get divorced, is that feeling alone and doing it and not having that partnership or that teamwork, as you said. And I can say, yes, I think a lot of my clients, it's that person's MIA or that person has something else going on and they don't help out. So mm-hmm. number two is, you know, infidelity. And I think, you know, having an affair, whether it be emotional or physical, whatever, again, we see this all the time. Now, I contribute affairs back to a love language not being met, and the partner goes and looking for that love language somewhere else. And let's just statistically say, physical touch is most often the love language of most men. And so if they're not getting that need met in their own marriage, they're going to go somewhere else where somebody's going to stroke the ego, you know? And so I think love language is the breakdown of what causes affairs. What do you think? Do you think that those go hand in hand?
I'm sure there's some needs not being met, but also then that person's just not taking responsibility. I mean, you can say, oh, my needs aren't being met, so then I went elsewhere, but you need to be accountable for your own actions.
Yeah.
I think infidelity, that is, trust and communication are huge pillars when it comes to maintaining a healthy long-term relationship. And when you cheat, you fucked up the trust, and that takes a very long time to repair if both parties are willing to put in the work to mm-hmm. get back to that place of, okay, I trust you and I feel safe with you. I mean, that's something that is very, very difficult to get back once you've thrown that down the toilet. And I think some people do try. They try to forgive and to move on, and they believe the I'm sorry's, and maybe they go to a couples therapy. But even through that, sometimes it's just not enough, because there's that feeling in you that you never know now, you know, who is he really texting, or who is he really going to hang out with? Or that's really difficult to get back.
I see that like affecting the next relationships. I mean, I know tons of people, you know, friends and family and myself, that went through just because their other significant other cheated on them. Now they're punishing you and, you know, and second guessing you and your every move and looking at your phone and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, where is this? I didn't do shit to you.
Yeah.
But because something happened to you in your last relationship, now you are like, paralyzing me to stay here and do this and show your phone. And it's like, that's not my issue. I didn't cause your drama, you know, or your trauma with that thing. And so working through that and am I enough kind of thing is their issue they need to work on.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, that's where doing that inner work, right? We talk about the inner work. That's what it is. Because regardless of what happened to you, you are responsible for you and your thoughts and your feelings and your choices. So at the end of the day, though, we can't control anybody. And nobody's got a crystal ball. You don't know. You could be in the healthiest relationship ever. And one day they just decide to go fuck three people. You don't know, right? So at the end of the day, it comes down to you having trust in yourself. I'm confident in myself. And I know that regardless of what happens in my marriage, I'm going to be okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to worry about it because I have that respect and trust and love and communication. But if something someday were to happen, I know that I can land on my feet and I will be okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it would be like. I mean, I even trusted my first husband. I've never had anybody really cheat on me and hurt me like that. I think maybe in high school, but you know, those are elementary relationships. So like I trusted my ex-husband because I didn't know any better and neither one of us cheated on each other, but I think in past relationships for him, people had. So that's where his like over the top, where are you going? Who are you being with? Let me see your phone. Whatever. And it was
just his own insecurities.
Like what? Big time, you know, big time. But it's like, I trust Jared. Jared trusts me. Like to be in a relationship where there's trust is amazing, you know, because then we hear all these horror stories of people that don't trust their partner. Well, I think this is going on and blah, blah, blah behind my back and they won't let me see the front. When I see those shows, there's it's a TikTok kid. He goes around, he says, hey, you guys together? And the couple says, yeah. And he says, do you trust each other? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, let's swap phones. And just the look of always one person's face is like, fuck.
Red flag to me.
The other person person's like, here, honey, here's my phone. And the other person's like, why are we doing this? What do you mean?
Right.
Hold on one second. Let me like, you know, delete a whole thread real quick. I would be like, I will drop that motherfucker. If you're not going to give me your phone like that, like, what are Like if it's not an easy, here you go. I mean, I don't know. I think it was weird for me at the first with Jared. Cause like he would just leave his phone down and you know, I'd move it and undo it. And there was a couple of relationships I was in after my marriage where very insecure men that did not let me touch their phone, did not let me know their password. And not that I needed to know, it was just like, hey, your phone's ringing. I like pick it up and like, tell you who it is as I'm handing it. Don't look at my phone.
Right. It's like, what are you hiding?
What? I'm just telling you who's called. Okay. You know, like I didn't understand the big deal. So when Jared was like, I don't give a shit if you look at my phone. I'm like, holy cow.
Same with David. Like he doesn't, we know each other's passwords. Like it's not right. Like, I'll be like, here, like fix this app. Here's my phone. Do whatever.
Or just like, get on my phone and use the internet or go talk to this person from my, and it's to be in that level is so refreshing. Cause we hear all the time about people that don't. Mm-hmm. The number three is kind of, I mean, shocking to me that it's the top three reasons why people get divorced. Lack of compatibility.
Oh my God.
It's like, where was that at the beginning? I mean, I'm married.
I will tell you. I will tell you where it was at. Okay. So with my first two marriages, I'm telling you, girl, we were not compatible. I settled. I forced the compatibility. I told myself that things weren't important that were fucking important and that wound up being problems. It's like if you're in a place where you're not whole and happy and fulfilled, when you have these voids that you're trying to fill, when you're insecure, when you are just afraid of being alone, when that's where you're at, when you start a relationship, you're not going to be starting for the right reasons. Yeah. And then all of these things are going to come up. And that happened to me. It was, I will tell you, both of my first husbands, I was not physically attracted to, but I convinced myself that that was shallow of me. I told myself that that was a shitty thing to be focusing on. And if they're good people, that's all that matters. And looks fade. And I was like, I was manipulating myself into believing that that wasn't important. Mm-hmm. And it is fucking important. I mean, if intimacy and sex is important to you in a relationship, physical attraction is important. You got to be real with yourself about what is. And so then, I mean, that's just one example, but there were so many things that at the end of the day, that is why I got divorced. we were not compatible. We were not on the same team. We did not see things from the same perspective. We didn't share those common goals. It was just like trying to make it work when it was never going to work.
Well, and I think the parenting children was the big eye opener to why I didn't, you know, end up marrying other people that I dated after my divorce, because I had kids and I'd see how they parent their children. I'm like, we are not compatible. We do not believe the same things with parenting. We are not the same style, you know? And so finding a person, not just that you fall in love with, which later down in this Forbes article, it actually talks about why people did get married, and love was like number four.
Oh,
so, but the other ones, you know, like to know that I'm with somebody, not just because I'm in love with them, but do we have the same moral compass when it comes to religion, when it comes to schooling for our children, when it comes to discipline of our children, medical decisions, you know, and not to get political, but vaccinations, to how we treat a common cold at our house. Are we putting meds in, or are we just going to let them sit and tough it out? Like all those type of questions, I think, is another reason why we need to go back to the test.
Yeah, I know. Like all
that. That's hard to really begin. Like, where do you fall on these subjects?
Yeah.
Because I'm not here to change your mind, you know, like I'm not. I mean, Jared and I have some morally, we think differently about the moon landing. We think differently about, you know, flat earth and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But those are funny moral differences of compatibility being different. You know, right. We agree to disagree, and I respect that he believes a thing and I believe a thing, and we laugh about it 90%.
Right, right.
But if we had a different moral feeling about punishment of our children or vaccinations, yeah, not going to work, bro.
This won't work. Like money, how you spend it, how you save it, what you do with it. There are so many things that you have to be aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all lessons. The hard lessons that I learned from failed marriages was, this is important. Oh yeah. Because I didn't know. I mean, that's the thing. I just don't understand why still at this day and age, people are so harsh about people getting divorced. Like there are some mean, mean people on the internet when you try to talk about divorce, but it's like, why? You learn, who knows what they're doing the first time around? Can we just be real? What else in your life are you only allowed to do once and like not make any mistakes and not get it right? I mean, maybe like, you know, you have a kid, once you have a kid, you have a kid forever, but it's like
TikTok with Tucker Carlson when you're like, and then you get divorced.
Yeah.
Be young, get married, have kids, and then get divorced.
Yeah, have a million babies. Get married young and have a million babies. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's not a good plan.
TikTok. Yeah, it's not a good plan. It's not, because who I was in my 20s is not who I am sitting here at 45. No. And I don't expect it to be the same person. But was I with somebody in my 20s and married somebody that was going to allow me to change and adapt? Fuck no. He was never going to let. The second I started to change in my marriage is when he lost his fucking marbles.
Right.
What do you mean you're going to go back to standing up for yourself? What do you mean you're going to go have a drink with your girlfriends? What do you mean you're going to talk to somebody that I don't know on the phone? I mean, I wasn't allowed to adapt and change into anybody else.
Right. And that's just super unhealthy, first of all. But I think that's the thing. A lot of times too, that's make or break. Either if you do start a relationship young, either you guys grow together or you grow apart. And if you grow apart, it's okay to get divorced. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The next one is lack of intimacy.
Yes.
Again, if you're not on the same page,
it's important too. It's big. Yeah.
I mean, good Lord, what are you doing? You know, and I hope as we're going through this, for those of you that are divorced, it's kind of like validation of like, me too. That's the exact same thing that happened in mine. You know, if you're not on the same page with intimacy, and it doesn't have to be just sex. It can be the touchy-feely, you know, slapping your butt, the holding hands. You know, Jared rubs on me every night while I'm sitting working on my computer, while we're watching our TV shows at night, and I'm doing my emails and I'm checking for the next day and blah, blah, blah. Every single night, he's rubbing my feet, rubbing my legs.
I mean, especially if that's a love language, physical touch.
And that's I know it's his. Touching my body makes him happy, but it also relaxes me and gets me more in the mood to hang out with him when we go to bed. Mm-hmm. So he knows that if he waits till we go to the bedroom, forget it, bro. It ain't happening. You know? So like, he knows that I need that touch every day. I need it first thing in the morning. I need those kisses, even though we work in the same house. I mean, we're here together all day long. He's got to kiss me every time he sees me. Otherwise,
because if you don't have that, aren't you just roommates? If you don't have that physical intimacy or that attraction or that piece of the puzzle, that changes the dynamic of your whole relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. And so yeah. I think if that's missing, that can really weigh heavy on there's needs that aren't being met. And you can only do that for so long until you say, hey, this is just not working out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Jared's very easy to please when it comes to this. I mean, yesterday sitting and working and my bra was like getting, it doesn't get really tight, like around your rib cage after you sit for so long. I had on one of those like compression bras. And so I just took off my shirt and took my bra off, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was like, this is the, I love working from home. He's like, this is the best day ever.
That happened like 2 mornings ago. Like we came out of the shower. I'm just sitting here like at my desk. I just have like my underwear on. I'm just like working on my computer. I have no shirt today.
Yeah. I mean, and I think knowing that that makes him happy, I could have went to the bathroom and taken my bra off, but I know that makes him happy. And so while I'm like, just, I want to get quick to the point and take this off, put my t-shirt back on so I can go back to work. It makes him happy, you know, and having that understanding of what your partner needs and respecting it and like talking about it. We talk about it all the time, you know, of like where we are with what we're doing, what we're not doing, what we need to do more of. And kids makes it hard. You know, if anybody thinks that it doesn't change after you have kids, it completely does, you know, your distraction. And I think when I explained to him one time right after we had kids, you know, because we met and my olders were big. And so Jared and I had a lot of free time. So it was, you know, intimacy was easy. Mm-hmm. Then we had these young babies and I was just like, look, my fight or flight is back into play. And like, I'm distracted. So I'm like, I know what you want, but like, I'm thinking like, when's the last time I fed that kid? Is that one have a dirty diaper? Like, is that one going to get up? What was that noise? Like, and I had to explain that to him. And he totally was like, I never thought, he goes, my brain does not work like that. He's like, once I'm in bed, I'm asleep or I'm wanting to have sex and that's it. He's like, I don't think about the kids. I'm like, my mind is constantly running. Like, is the outside light on? Did we lock the doors? Like, I'm a Rolodex. So when I explained it, he was like, nobody's ever told me that that's how, you know, the female brain works. I'm like, all the time, man. There's it's like a teleprompter just spewing shit across it.
It's true. Yeah.
So it's hard. Like it takes a little bit harder for me too, but I gave him cues of like, this is what will help if you start doing the checklist before bed. And it was a game changer.
Yeah. But again, communication, right? And then also with the intimacy, it's like making it a priority. Even when things happen, you get busy with work, you get busy with the kids. There's a lot going on. But if it's important to you, then you both work on making that a priority and just making sure that you're getting that in somewhere or somehow.
How do you feel about scheduled sex?
I think it's okay if that's what works for you. I think that if you're like, you know what, my kid's going to be with my ex on Saturday. So I know that on Saturday, I hate when that happens. I know on Saturday, like let's do some you and me time. Like let's have some little sexy time and maybe do some dinner. And, you know, so I think that it's okay to plan it if that's what works.
I think it is too, especially when you have, you know, businesses or jobs and kids. And like you said, you know, you're trying to just know it's something to look forward to as well. And I think that's the perspective change. You got to look forward to like, okay, Friday is the day. Like, thank goodness it's Friday. Like we're getting to Friday versus like, ugh, it's fucking Friday. Mm-hmm. I have to give it up. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's your perspective on how it is planned, you know, and Jared and I have talked about that too. Like, do we need to get to the point where we plan it? Because we got so much going on back when we were really busy with all these kids and sports and then babies at the same time. And it was like, no, but let's at least pick a number that we're comfortable with per week. Like, let's try to have a goal. Both of him and I are very competitive. So that made it easy. It's like, okay, let's try to hit this goal every week. And if we beat the goal, we beat the goal, you know, and I'm the reason we beat the goal, you know, so that made it a little bit more fun. But I think it's all communication.
Right.
It's all communication. And the one thing that I have seen on this subject in my clients is people's interests in sex and the kinks and the different trying of different things. Mm-hmm. They can't bring it up to the person they've been high school sweethearts with for 20 years. And they're like, hey, I'm now into butt stuff, or hey, I'm now into toys, or hey, I'm now into the, because where the fuck did this idea come from? You've been with me for 20 years. And did you explore the internet, or are you cheating? Like, I feel like people are scared to bring up changes in their sex life with their partners. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that could be, or to just stay stagnant and not talk about what you want. And then you're not fulfilled. But again, it comes back with the communication. It comes back to trust and just holding space for each other to be able to talk about things like that. And again, are you guys growing together? Or are you growing apart? And I think that that's part of life, is trying new things, exploring new things, not just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And so are you compatible in that way?
Yeah, missionary on Mondays, and you are sick of it, you need to say something.
Yeah.
You know, you need to say something. The next one, we'll just do a couple more. Too much conflict or arguing.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Not healthy, super toxic, terrible for your kids. 100%. And this was really in all of my previous relationships. I'm sure it came down to just not being compatible, but we fought dirty. I mean, we would insult and swear and curse and slam doors and throw things. And it was just super unhealthy. And yeah. I'm really, really grateful that I'm not in that kind of relationship anymore. And your partner should not be causing you distress, right? If something happens or they say something that maybe you misunderstood or something happens that upsets you, your partner should not be doing that intentionally. That should be, maybe then that's something that you have a conversation about and you address it and they're willing to hear you and they want to understand and maybe apologize if necessary, or maybe just tell you where they're coming from and then you move on.
Yeah.
There should be no hostility towards each other in a healthy relationship. You should always have that love and respect and fight clean. You can disagree. You can, argue in a really healthy, productive way.
Yep. The next one we've kind of touched on, financial stress. I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody either their bills are separate, which we have our money together. Not all of it, you know, cause we were older when we got together. So like we have our private, our separate accounts, but we have joint accounts, but we have access to everything. Like Jared has access to mine. I have access to all of his, like nothing's a secret. We have retirements together and everything, but I see so many people that have separate money and pay separate bills. And somebody has no idea what's even over here.
Right.
None, zero. And it's never even been talked about.
Right.
Like, nobody's ever said, hey, I mean, every time I do bills, I like, here, Jared, here's all of our accounts. Here's what's going on. Here's what we got put in savings. Here's what we get to invest this month. Blah, blah, blah. You know, open book, both accounts. I can't imagine. To me, it's a secret. And that's not going to fare well. In my opinion, I don't understand how people keep everything so separate. I'm all for keeping your accounts, but do you know what's over there? And if you don't, why isn't someone willing to say, hey, I'm sitting on 18,000. I'm sitting on 8,000. I'm sitting on 18,000 of debt. Like we're married.
And I think people lie about finances.
Oh,
and they keep things from their spouse. That's certainly happened to me. And I think there are times where you're trying to be responsible and save money and the other person's just pissing it out on the other side. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm like, we're trying to get out of debt and pay these bills. And you're off like drinking every weekend and like going to the casino. Like we need to be on the same page with this.
Yeah. I just see so many people when it is time for divorce, you know, their lawyer's going to say, hey, where are you at financially? Bring me all your debt, bring me all your assets. And there's always one partner that's like, I don't have a clue. I've never even asked. I don't know. And then they find out they're in a pile of trouble with debt and they have no idea this whole time. And, you know, we got gamblers, I mean, addicts, that people just spend. And so finances, again, I think that goes back to compatibility. Like you said, are we savers or are we spenders?
Right.
You know, and that's got to be on the same page with.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like these are the questions, you guys, if you're getting ready to date again after divorce or after your breakup, these are questions that you ask before you move into really getting serious is like, how much debt do you have? What's your debt to income ratio? What's your credit score? These are all things that you need to know because they will come up and come into play and then possibly cause huge problems.
Right. So I'm going to list the last few and you tell me which one you really want to talk about. Lack of commitment, parenting differences, which we kind of touched on, marrying too young, which we kind of touched on, opposing values or morals, substance abuse, domestic violence, and pursuing different lifestyles.
Yeah, which is kind of like compatibility or growing apart.
Yeah.
I mean, marrying too young is something that it's your
thing. Yeah.
I just don't think it's a good idea. I just don't because you don't know who you are when you're young. You just don't. You think you do, but you really don't. And if you don't know who you are, how are you supposed to find an ideal partner that's meant to last a lifetime?
Who doesn't know who they are either.
Yeah. And who probably doesn't know who they are. I think you need to live life and have relationships. I mean, date and have relationships and learn about yourself and what your needs are and what your standards are and what your deal breakers are and what you want to, what kind of life you want to live. Yeah. Do you want to be somebody who saves and invests a lot of money? Do you want to travel? Do you want, like, what really do you want that brings you fulfillment? And when you know really who you are and what you need in a relationship, because you know your own love languages and you know how to fill your own tank and you know all that, what you like to do for fun, everything, then it's so much easier to find the right person for you that's compatible because you've got yourself all figured out and you're very clear on where you want to go in life. And if this person is not aligned with you and with where you want to go, and they're not compatible on every level, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, then they're not for you. And it's like, and that's fine because I'm good. I'm living my life. I'm doing my thing on my own. I don't need a relationship. I'm just, I would like one to add value to my life, but I'm not relying on that to feel worthy or enough or accomplished or whatever. I just think you gotta live some life first and really work on you, prioritize you so that you know who you need.
Yeah. I think this is where, as a parent, we can start teaching our kids, what is their value in all these things? What's the hierarchy of importance when they start seeking out, but knowing how they want to be financially.
Yeah.
You know, teach your kids that. How do you want to parent? Do you want to be a spanker or do you not want to be a spanker? You know,
right, right.
Where is sex going to be on your list of priorities? And teaching kids that you are who you are.
Yeah. Like there's no right or wrong. Like if you're like, hey, YOLO, like I'm not saving shit. I'm spending every dollar I get. Great. Well, then just make sure that the partner you get is on the same wavelength and they're not trying to like save and invest and you're out here fucking spending money on vacations.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, teaching your kids all of those values and understanding like you want a partner. And I think this is in the younger years, you think your partner is going to be right there changing diapers with you and right there helping with all the meals and cooking the food and wiping toilets down and stuff. And then it's like their idea was because of their childhood. No, this person goes to work and you stay home and do that. And it's like wait a second, my childhood. We all did that. So, I mean, having those conversations about, and Jared and I were raised the same. We observed the same things. We had the same kind of upbringing. So that was really beneficial because like when big things, and again, we got into our relationship pretty fast, but we waited a while to have kids after we had those hard conversations about, well, what are you going to do? You know, and something so simple as how do you feel about making our kids work in high school? And both Jared and I are like, yeah, we had jobs, but it was just summer jobs. If they play sports, they don't have to work. That was a rule at my house too. So that's what we did with our kids. Had we been on different pages about that, which I can guarantee you, had I stayed married to my first husband, it would have been that way because he worked all the way through everything. And so he would have been like, hell no, our kids are working. And I would have been like, they're playing sports. They're not working. So finding somebody like that, but teaching your kids as they age, what is their stance on a lot of these subjects, because then that's, they're going to know how to ask the hard questions when they're dating and taking, you know, this relationship serious. I'm nervous about, you know, with Joe being going to college and finding, we always joke with her, she's going to find some D1, you know, football player or basketball player and bring him home. But it's like, are they compatible at 24?
Right. I think the other thing too is
I'm nervous.
Women tend to be, I think, and don't come at me, but I'm just saying, I think women tend to be more mature faster than men. I think they mature a little bit faster mentally and like emotionally.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, when they marry young, they expect that, oh, once we get married and we sign those papers, you're going to be different. You're going to be more mature. You're not going to want to go out as much. You're going to have different priorities. You're going to be, you know, now you're a husband. Now you need to step up, right? They like expect that signing of the paper is going to kind of morph this person into a more mature like man, right? And that's just not how it works. And I've seen people get just really frustrated with like, what the fuck? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? But it's like, but he was doing that before. Like you know, it's the same person. Like nothing changes.
He doesn't become landlocked from a piece of paper. He is not still home with you. He's still going out. So yeah, we were hoping that this would just be kind of a, you know, validation and encouragement that you're not crazy. Like there was things going on that just weren't making it work. And we are both believers that life is way too fucking short for you to stay miserable and trying to hope and pray that something changes or that somebody bumps their head and becomes a different person. Just get out, you know, just get out and move on.
Okay. You are not alone. the water's warm, join the club. I mean, like, it is nothing to be ashamed of. And when it comes to feeling guilty about your kids, I'll just leave you with this. Like, just remember at the end of the day, if your kids were in the same situation, what would you tell them to do? What advice would you give? It probably isn't, well, suck it up and deal with it and just be unhappy. It probably isn't that. It probably is, then get out and do what you need to do because you deserve to be happy. And absolutely, you deserve to be happy too.
Absolutely. All right, guys, until the next episode, share this with somebody to give them some sense of validation that it's okay, that we're all right there with you.